Through the evolution of Christianity, one idea has been accepted by nearly all groups of people. That is the fatherhood of God. To some, this indicates a man-type being. Some people have a concept of God that is somewhat like a tyrannical father, yet underneath, very good and warm and loving. Our usual approach to God is through the father image. Jesus personified God when he called him Father, referring to that infinite presence of God, the Christ within himself, the source or origin of every good and perfect gift. God expresses as Father. God also expresses as Mother. God is your Father. God is your Mother. Our earthly fathers and mothers are symbols of these everlasting aspects of God. To realize both of these aspects is important in order to nurture our souls. It is important for us to realize that we cannot really be separated from these two aspects of God. Although outer symbols, whether mother or father, may pass away, God will exist forever. And God does not change. In the religious world, it was the Quakers, commonly known as the Friends, who were the first to relate to God as Mother as well as Father. It is still very startling for many people to hear God spoken of as Mother. And if we look at our own reactions, it sometimes can be interesting. Some months ago, when I was away, someone put Dial a Blessing on and used a prayer with Father, Mother, God. We had someone call the office and want to know, what is this mother thing? So people do challenge and do question. But if we begin to realize that these indicate two aspects of the very nature of God, that God contains not only that what we term masculine principle, but also that feminine principle as well. Otherwise, God would be incomplete, to be one and not another. There are attributes of truth contained within each of these elements that are very important. We often look upon that mother nature of God as that comforting nature, that nurturing, loving aspects of God, often related as well to the intuition, to the intuitive elements of our being. Both of the aspects of God are expressed through God's unique creation, men and women. It is important for us to honor that mother principle, and not only the mother principle in the female, but the mother principle in the male. Sometimes this disturbs people somewhat, either male or female, who have one of the old type concepts of male and female. But each part has a very definite place in spiritual unfoldment. That nurturing, loving aspect within men needs to be encouraged as much as that loving, nurturing aspect within women. Just as the intellectual, physical nature must be cultivated as much in women as it is in men. So we consider then giving honor to the mother principle. It has a very definite place in our spiritual unfoldment. in the development of every person. It is, however, very much needed at this time in the development of our society. It is the cultivation of this mother aspect that will help to bring about the balance that will change the course of our history. It is that development of the intuitive, feeling nature in both men and women. It is that balance of decision-making that will restore stable, solid spiritual foundations in our society. It will create a solid, stable psychological climate through which people can become all that God intended them to become, so that they can bring forth their spiritual nature in their own personal, unique, and individual ways. Until we grow in understanding, our concept of God as Father or Mother may indeed be very limiting, and specifically if we identify with just the physical roles. For sometimes people have not had always a strong, healthy, stable experience of either father or mother. But we look within to that presence that is known as the Comforter, the presence of God that is promised to us always. As Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." He was not speaking of his body. He was not speaking of his personality. He was speaking of that spirit, his spirit that was united to God, as we have our spirit that can be united to God. Once we realize this presence within, then we can overcome what seems to be one of our modern-day problems, not only of men and women, but of children of all ages, and that is that sense of being alone or loneliness. We know the two don't necessarily go together at all. That presence of God is not something that we experience so much with the five senses, but we experience it with our intuitive feelings. I'm sure many of you have lived long enough to hear an expression called woman's intuition. Do women have greater intuitive powers than men? I doubt it. But we have sort of accepted that as something that is more feminine than masculine. But it is a quality, that intuition is a quality of the nature of every person. The use of it is the most reasonable, worthwhile way that we have of arriving at our objectives in life. We sometimes use only mental or physical force to try to get things done. We sometimes want to analyze and reason and go through over and over again various thoughts about what we ought to do, the decisions that we ought to make, when all along we've really known it. We have known what we ought to do. We have known the decision that needed to be made, because of the action of our inner intuition. Intuition may be defined as direct perception independent of the reasoning process. Independent of the intellectual reasoning process. Some people go so far as to call it an extrasensory perception. But intuition is a way that we receive knowledge by insight, an inner knowing, an inner feeling. It gives us the urge to act or not to act, to do or not to do. Often our intuitive feelings come in a form that we discount, because the form may be nothing more than a hunch, an inner urge to do something, a strong feeling. The intuition is a very natural thing. It is very natural to know things that you have no outer way of knowing. Do you believe that? You see, we have so many things that have been conditioned into our mind that we tend to think that the world of facts is all that exists. But it's not so. Through that activity of God's Spirit within, which is indeed divine intelligence, we can be taught from within. We can be guided in all our ways. We can know things that we have no real reason outwardly for knowing. So think of yourself as having an inbuilt guidance system. Your own personal inbuilt guidance system. And consider what that can mean to your life. Consider the effect that this could have upon anything that you are doing, experiencing at the moment. Whether you're going through some problems or negative conditions or problems in relationship, whatever it involves, you have an inner guidance system. To see it work as effectively as possible, we must indeed get away from the belief that we can understand everything intellectually, that we're going to figure it all out and explain why it's so. One of the most interesting things for us to realize is that we accept many things every day that we have no way of knowing how they work, how the activity takes place. Some of you are probably gardeners, and if so, have likely been involved already this year with such a thing as seed. Why is it that you can take a tiny seed that you can hardly see, maybe of a petunia, and in one packet, they're all red? And another packet, they're all purple. The seed look exactly the same. If you cut them apart, they would look exactly the same. And yet, each one produces after its own kind, according to a pattern established within. You can look at it in bulbs. You can't tell the difference between what is going to be a red tulip or a black tulip or some other color. Unless you happen to see it written on the outside, there is no way that you can tell, even if once again you cut it in two. You still don't see a sign inside that says red or anything, but there is an inbuilt guidance system in nature. And if there is an inbuilt guidance system in nature, isn't it logical to assume that in God's highest known creation, man, that there would also be an inbuilt guidance system? Human beings with the ability to choose, to think, and to reason also have an inbuilt guidance system. It can guide you to your right place in life, to the right work, the right people. It can guide you in discovering the solution to a problem, the answer to a question. It can do anything that you need it to do if you will accept it. Have you a decision to make and you're not quite sure which is the right way to go because even both ways seem to have certain advantages and certain disadvantages? Now, often do we hear somebody say, well, it's the lesser of two evils, because we don't like that way. If we are listening to our inner guidance system, which is indeed God within, we will always be assured that we're going to do the right thing that we're going to make the right decision. Now, this by no means indicates that the rest of the world is going to think you made a right decision. They may think you are out of your head. It is much more important to know what that inner guide is saying, what Christ in you is indicating, than to have the approval of people. Even if we should have a situation that defies our understanding and we don't know what to do, our inner guidance system can provide that answer. There is no question that has not an answer. There is no choice that we have to make that cannot be a good one if we are willing to listen to that essence of God that is within our soul and respond to that essence. So how do we then go about cultivating our intuitive feelings? One of the first things we learn to do is to simply be aware that they are important, that our feelings are important, that these intuitive feelings and hunches and directions that seem to come to you at times, even unasked, are important. Then define your need. If you have a specific need, define it clearly, to the point. Sometimes we discover that people are feeling a sense of restlessness, sense of dis-ease and don't know what's wrong. This is when we really need to pray to be able to define the problem, to determine what it is that's causing us to not feel at ease with life. Define your need. Maybe it is only for understanding. And then move into a peaceful state of mind. You can do that. Any of us can do that about any problem that we have, any situation we face. We stop for a moment all worry, all analyzing, all fear, and move into a quiet, peaceful state of mind. People can do this in various ways. Some people do it by listening to soothing, quiet music. It is a matter of toning down the intellect and letting the intellect rest peacefully. And as you have moved into that peaceful state of mind, affirm that divine intelligence is now revealing to you what you need to know. Divine intelligence is God. So you can affirm that God is now revealing to me what I need to know. In the realm of God, there is nothing that is unknown. There is nothing that is impossible. There is no problem without its solution, no question without its answer in God. So after you have defined the problem, moved into that peaceful state of mind, and affirmed that God is revealing to you what you need to know, give thanks for your receptivity to the answer. Give thanks that you are open-minded and receptive to receive the answer. Often God speaks to us in the still small voice within our own soul, and we reject what is said because our mind is already made up along some other lines. After all, we can claim we know it's not supposed to be that way. It's unreasonable. So give thanks for your receptivity. Give thanks that God is providing you with the perfect solution you need, the answer, or correcting the situation, doing whatever needs to be done. And then go on about your business. So often we want to sit quietly and wait for the answer to come at that moment. But answers don't always come at the exact moment that we want them to come, because we're not always receptive. So go about your other business and leave it up to God, knowing that the idea, the hunch, the impulse, the inspiration will come to you. For you have already given thanks that you are receptive to it. It may come as an idea, something you had not thought of before. But so often when we're looking for guidance, the answer seems so reasonable that all we think is, I wonder what took me so long to think of that. Remember that you are connected by an invisible thread to the very wisdom of God. It is through the Spirit of Christ within you that you are connected to that very wisdom of God. And then, once your idea comes, once the hunch is there, act upon it. Do quickly what you have to do or what you need to do. And this often involves the using our intellect then to carry out the feelings that we have. We're using our intellectual nature to put feet under our answers. Once your answer comes, act quickly. Unless you're one of those people who loves to suffer. In this way, you benefit from the intuitive feelings and guidance that comes to you. But remember that this is God's provision for you, very personally and very uniquely. God's provision is the power of intuition. Encourage that power to work in and through every phase of your life by giving attention to it. Take the steps to develop it. And first of all, by being aware that you have your inbuilt guidance system. Don't wait for emergencies. So often we even in prayer turn to God only during emergencies. We do not need to wait, but can work with God to make life easier every day of our lives. If you go to work with the assumption that the power of God is within you, that the intuitive guidance is there, then avoid doubt and fear. So often we short-circuit our answers through doubt or fear. But you can always remember, God created you as a spiritual being, and therefore, you are greater than any doubt that you will ever have, any fear that you will ever feel. And always remember when doubt or fear arises, to take time to remind yourself that you are greater than your doubt. You are greater than your fear. Then you will be free to go ahead and do what you feel guided to do. You are divinely equipped to handle life well. God has given you a wonderful mind and intellect to use. He has also given you that inner guidance system, the feeling nature that will inspire and direct and lead you in the ways that you are to go. Cultivate your intuitive feeling. Use your intellect in carrying out what those feelings tell you. It is in that way that we truly express the very essence of God that is within our soul. As Jesus spoke of the Father abiding within him, doing the works, so can we make that same claim. For he allowed himself to work with those intuitive feelings, the Spirit of God within his soul. He also suggested that the things that he did, and even greater things, we would do. This happens when we attain that balance, when we give honor to the intellectual thinking nature, and we also give honor to the feeling intuitive nature. In this way, God expresses his kingdom of abundant good through us. God bless you.